In a world where Togu fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rider, Jedi Mon, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Togu news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to our Season 4, Episode 46.
Okie dokie, kachidoki. Is that a good one, Aerosol? I'm pretty proud of it, to be honest.
Not sure it was worth the build-up, but okay.
Oh, I like it.
It's got a nice ring to it. Okay.
That would have been funny if it was Wizard. There's a monkey! We now return to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Caesar! The film in which the Green Goblin causes the Planet of the Apes.
Cat's on the other side of the den playing Infamous, so...
She was looking for her. Angelica.
Okay, let's move on. One-ups. I bought a bunch of Skylanders. I think that's all that's fun. I'd have my DJ gun right now, except I missed the package. So, that didn't happen.
I want a DJ gun.
A Mandrake box is missing.
What? Did you put out a milk carton?
It arrived at the post office. And so I was like, oh, it's going to get here sometime today. And it usually comes with the normal mail truck. So when they're done at the mailboxes, they deliver any packages that they have. So it usually doesn't get here until like 5 o'clock in the afternoon or so. And so it's like 7 o'clock and it's not here yet. I'm like, okay. Like, no mail came that day. I think the mail truck exploded. Because we didn't even get mail that day.
You should go to the beach and be like, I looked everywhere for the box. At the beach? And then the beach again. What the hell?
I checked every beach. And so, I don't know. It says delivery status not updated. And that was the last of it. I don't know. I don't know what happened to it.
It's MIA.
But I guess we'll find out, whatever. I have to go to the post office to pick up the CS Toys box anyway, so I'll pester them. Bitch, where's my box?
Bitch!
But yeah, that's all I've bought is Skylanders and missed packages. That's my life right now. Oh, I was playing Infamous. I got
Brian's,
Infamous, and now I'm
Brian's
playing Infamous.
Brian's graffiti. That's what he was doing.
I like that feature. It's cool.
It is cool.
So, that is my life right now.
My turn?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so my life is currently defacing the Crucible. No, not the Crucible. Scarlet Letter, sorry.
Those are the same thing.
Well, the cover makes it look like the Crucible. She looks like a witch. Anyway.
I'm the witch.
But, Butter. Sorry. I also got Infamous. I hoped to get the Collector's Edition, and I never pre-ordered it at GameStop because I was either wearing a suit or I didn't have a car, so I just never got around to it. So I had to get it off Amazon, and I had to wait, like, 4 extra days, and I never got to start it. But I finally have started it, and it's really, really awesome. Like, the graphics are pretty insane, and it's just a lot of fun. Like, I honestly haven't done much story when I play. I've just kind of run around and been like, fuck yeah, I'm a hero. With smoke. Smoking's good, kids. No, don't print that. let's see. And then with that order, I also finally picked up that second XY guide. You know, the Pokedex or whatever. I still haven't opened it.
Oh, yeah, I still need to get that.
Let's see.
For collection's sake, I don't actually need it. But
I did get a AC Shin Zangetsu, so I'm only one behind again. And I think whatever set the Forze Lockseed is in, double maybe, I don't know. Whichever one that is, I got that.
Forze knows?
Yeah. Sure. I got that. So I'm still missing the other half. I'm hoping to get a DJ gun and stuff, but I haven't really bought any other things there. I've played a little bit of Titanfall still. That's pretty much it. There really hasn't been a whole lot going on.
Okay, well... Ow. So, I'm on my new headset, which apparently randomly decides to turn sound off. Because that's a thing. I had to get a new headset because my puppy ate the last one. We figured out that, like, because she's been getting out of her kennel, and we figured out that she's letting herself out, because if you hit it enough, it opens.
Yeah, Bella's gotten crafty enough to open up the latch sometimes.
Yeah, so, if you just hit it a few, we watched her do it. We couldn't figure it out. It was really frustrating, because she, like, destroyed things, like... You know, I had bought chipmunk stuff, the three stuffed chipmunks a few years back, and she got a hold of the chipmunks, and she pulled Simon's glasses off and destroyed them, you know, because she's a butthead, and she decided that, so I gave them to Kaylee. I'm like, here, Kaylee. Like, play with, you know, here, you can have these chipmunks. Well, she's like, Daddy, where are his glasses? I said, well, Oreo ate them. She ripped them apart and broke them. She got all upset and started crying, so finally I had to think fast, and I was like, well, Simon did like Mommy, and he got contacts. So he doesn't have to wear glasses anymore. She stopped and goes, oh, okay, got contacts. That it works pretty good. It works also off, not only just off the little receiver you plug in the USB, but also off of the Bluetooth. I need that, because I lose the little piece. Like,
you have like an extra guard.
Yeah, so I don't have to worry about spending an hour before we record looking for the little receiver. You know, I can just sit there and go, oh, okay, well, I'll find it later, and turn the Bluetooth on and be done with it. So that's good. I have to go pick up my box tomorrow, my CS Toys box that has the car
that I got today.
Yeah, pretty much the car carrier ratio, the tank Rasha, the Ichigo, the Grider Ichigo, Lockseed, not Strawberry Ichigo. Apparently it confuses people if you say it wrong. Like, oh, that Ichigo. Like, is there another Ichigo? Like, I don't... Something I missed? So it's got that Lockseed in it. And, I think that's all I bought from... Oh, the Kachidoki Lockseed. I don't think I said that. My Mandarake boxes are still on their way. So, here's the situation with that. I got one coming with AC Greed and one coming with AC Kurokage. The tracking has not been updated in about a week. So, the tracking hasn't been updated in like 12 days or something stupid. Like it's been, not 12 days. No, about 12 days. I think it says like the 16th or something. Like, it's ridiculously stupid. They refuse to update me on as to where my box is. So I have no...
World of Sal.
Yeah. Like, they just don't update tracking. And then I just bought from Mandarake the Dragon Wops for Hurricane Land and Water, and all the Fuck My Cocks that are not base states. I tried to buy...
Did you get Rocket States?
No, and I didn't get that
one. I don't have Rocket States. That's the only one I don't have.
I almost got them, but I didn't want to spend the extra money.
Yeah, he's really expensive. It's really annoying.
Like, what, Kaylee? Here. No, go to bed.
Daddy, you have to check my bed.
Okay, later. Hold on. And I tried to get the WFC for Cyclone Joker Extreme. They didn't have that. But, oh well. And then, of course, after the fact, I find out they have OCC Birth. Like, cheap. And I was like, son of a bitch. Like, because, like, I actually want that because I wanted the Birth Clause, but I hate the Fig Art set. Yeah. Like, the Fig Art set is just complete shit. But I downloaded, in case no one can tell, I downloaded the Pokemon Battle Troze. I'm pretty sure there's crack in this game.
There is.
Like, I can't stop playing it. I've played it constantly since I downloaded it. And it is very upsetting that I can't stop.
That's okay. You just have to adjust your lifestyle.
Yeah, I've made poor life decisions. And now I'm stuck playing this game forever and ever. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like I made poor life decisions, and now I'm a crackhead. But that's fine. You know, I'll just move on. But I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything else I bought, because... Oh, my AmiAmi order, I paid for it. Which is just some vinyls and the Ranketsu Bazooka.
Yeah, that's basically mine, too. I've got the Norikai change ones.
Yeah, I said I was going to wait on those, but... Everything I wanted to get from AmiAmi, they didn't stock. So I bought it from CS Toys. And I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that I'm buying from the CS Toys and paying the extra. Because I just want my stuff, and I want it now. Like J.G. Wentworth. It's my toys, and I need them now. So.
Okay, I want to talk to Ryan again.
No, baby.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything else, really. I got, actually, nothing else. I got the World's End, the movie with the Hot Fuzz guys and Shaun of the Dead guys, whatever, their movie. That shit was funny. I don't know if Dawson got that or not. But I got that. Oh, he saw that movie, but it's pretty funny. I don't think anything else. Oh, my Okibox, shit. Mammoth Ranger, Kyuja set, and Saiga is here. But yeah, that's about it. So
over to you, Aerosol, with sports.
Well, today the local sports team played their sports game.
Sports.
I was gonna mention that I love how one of your reasons for not going into a store to buy something is that you were wearing a suit.
Because I felt like I was wearing a Halloween costume. I felt embarrassed.
It's a suit.
It just seemed weird. I would be like, I've moved way past you GameStop people, but I'll give you my money anyway.
Suits are cool, though.
It just seemed weird. It's true. But it just seemed so strange. I should have taken the opportunity while I could, though.
Yeah, you should have. I honestly haven't really done anything. None of the stuff that I've ordered has gotten here yet. And I did have two comic books that I pre-ordered from Amazon ship, but they ship separately because Amazon doesn't allow you to combine your friggin' orders. But so yeah,
it's frustrating.
That's about it.
They can. They don't let you, but they can if they want to. Because yeah. I ordered the Wild Force Red Lion and the Legendary Megazord figure separately, and they ended up combining them. They just kind of do what they want.
It's just that these two books shipped on the exact same day. They are set to arrive on the exact same day, and they ship from the exact same place. Put them together.
Why would we do that?
So,
you've also been watching How I Met Your Mother. Do I do all your one-ups for you?
Just kidding. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to include that, but Yeah, I started watching How I Met Your Mother. I'm still like 10 or so episodes into season 2. But I know the slap bet thing just started. Which...
Oh, slap bet. One of my favorites. you must have just watched Let's Go to the Mall episode, which was just on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now.
Love that episode.
I mean, a lot of these are episodes I had already seen just a long time ago.
Yeah, like, just kind of a refresher.
Oh, and I decided to just go ahead and finish Mega Ranger today.
Oh, I thought about doing that, but then I didn't.
I didn't even watch it today yet.
I finally started watching it at times 2 speed. Watching episodes of Mega Ranger 11 minutes is amazing. Because not only do you only have to watch it half the time, but it's entertaining because of how funny everything is. Because like Kent is like, pow, 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 we're going to get the Psycho Rangers. Let's do it. Mega Voyager. And Japanese George is like, I don't know.
Today I set the theme song to play at half speed, and it sounds like bad karaoke because it's slow and kind of awkward. But yeah, the last 3 episodes of Mega Ranger aren't too bad. The final episode kind of did something that Z Ranger did, which I didn't really appreciate.
They flew off into a cloud and gave kids digi eggs.
No. Well, you know how everyone kind of makes a big deal about how amazingly deep Bandora is because she lost her son and that's her motivation. Well, that's kind of the same thing with Mega Ranger's main villain.
Oh, Dr. Hyena?
Yeah, they don't tell you that until episode 51.
Just
literally
like
the last episode. They tell you this, you know, plot development. It's like, well, tell us that sooner, and maybe then I'd care.
And they revealed that, you know, Dr. Hyena was friends with Japanese George, like, a long time ago, and then they really never touched on it, except for, like, 1 or 2 times.
Yeah.
So,
it's just, like, I don't care how much that adds to the character. If it's in episode 51, what's the point? Yeah. And yesterday we watched episodes 46 and 47, which were essentially filler. 46 and 47 should not be filler. You should not be having filler that late in your series.
Yeah. Oh, Mega Ranger, you won't be missed. I'm going to finish it tomorrow. If I watch all 3 episodes together, it's only 36 minutes. You know, 2x speed.
So, I mean, the series had some elements that I did kind of enjoy that could have been a lot better than what they were, but it's just weighed down because over half of the series is filler. It's just a drag to get through.
It is. That's the best way to describe Mega Ranger, a drag to get through. We really haven't had that great of a time with many of the book club shows, have we? I think Die Ranger was the most pleasant one.
Yeah. I mean, Gal Ranger wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't. It was just kind of boring. I think Die Ranger was the one I was the peak my interest the most.
Yeah, definitely. And Zoo Ranger was frustrating, and this is frustrating for kind of a similar reason. But I guess I don't hate the show as much as I hated Zoo Ranger.
God, Zoo Ranger is so awful. But we're, hopefully, Cocker Ranger finishes at some point soon so we can start that.
They just released a new episode today.
47?
Yeah.
So they still got a little bit more to go, though.
I love how we made it all the way through and they've only released, like, 1 episode of it.
Yeah, because didn't we think, oh, by the time we finish Mega Ranger, they'll be done.
Well, I didn't know they were moving at a snail's pace. I'm sorry.
It's kind of ridiculous. Like, I hate to be one of those people that complains about subgroups, but come on. You're almost done. Come on, say. I'm drawing the CX symbol.
So, aside from watching Mega Ranger, do we have any important news for this week?
Nothing that I can recall official news. There was quite a bit of fandom drama this week, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Austin St. John's returning to conventions, and he's fat. No. We don't know. He's refused to be photographed as of yet. Maybe he's, like, hitting 24-hour fitness until Florida Con or whatever. It's the con that celebrates Florida. I don't know what it's about. Anyway, but the real news is Morphin Madness, which is so appropriately named it's ridiculous. I love the drama. It is just so much fun.
Yeah, the JDF stuff has gotten kind of
crazy.
And
so yeah, if you don't know, JDF found out about Morphin Madness and promptly encouraged all of his followers to vote for him,
and which, only him.
Yeah, which caused a majority of a lot of Ranger fans to become upset by that, and so they formed like this sort of anti-Tommy coalition or whatever. To not vote Tommy and vote any of his opposite choices. And then he found out about the group and called everyone that doesn't like him haters and couldn't imagine that anybody would like any other Ranger but him. And over the past couple of days, he's bribed people and offered them...
Is it working now?
Told, yes. Yep. Told them how to
there
cheat.
There we go.
And he pulled Sweetums out of Pawnee. Can you believe it? He's like, my dad says we're probably going to have to close down the factory and close up everything.
I saw his reaction to the fact that, you know, he was losing. And it's like a junior hire who just found out that people might not like him. like he's throwing a little fit and he's not the best writer in the world. He's very rambly and kind of incoherent a lot of times.
And, you know, I did think it was kind of annoying that he was promoting it so heavy at first, but I'm like, well, I guess that's all right. But as soon as he started bribing people and, like, getting upset, like, even without the hater thing, like, the very idea that somebody could like a different Ranger besides him was hilarious and frustrating at the same time.
Well, we all know it's rigged if Tommy doesn't win everything.
Totally.
I love that. It's this has to be rigged.
White Drago Ranger winning? That's your friend. That's Trent. He drew beautiful pictures of aliens that showed what's her face, red hair chick.
Like Haley. He was just at that convention talking about like how awesome he loves his Dino Thunder guys. He's always talking about, oh man, I love Dino Thunder guys. They're best cast ever. White Drago Ranger starts beating Green Ranger. Fuck that guy. Whoa.
I had a way better evil arc. I was brought back through friendship. And I had a mullet. That was evil shit, man.
Like, well, goddamn.
He just got a fedora. Wait, that was Liangle. they acted very similarly. I just want to point that out.
Like, I can't... Like, what on earth would make you think that this is okay to do? Like, now, I understand the people that are against him are... being very forceful with it, but he kind of deserves it.
Yeah.
Like, you come from a show that's all about, like kindness and teamwork and all these strong morals, and then you basically say, oh, everyone that doesn't like me is a hater, and if you vote for me and prove it, I'll give you free autographs. And how can anyone be beating me? I'm the best in the world.
I think that's what sent people over was that best in the world poster.
I'm like, and the thing
completely
is,
lose my respect well, with that.
And you're not even saying that you don't like Tommy by not voting for him. You're just saying like, oh, I like this guy better. Like you're not saying, oh, fuck Tommy, I hate him. You're just like, oh look, I really like White Drago Ranger. He's a cool guy. They vote for him. Like. You're not saying, oh, I'm going to burn Green Ranger and everything he stood for. Erase him from Power Ranger footage forever. Like those
Jason
people like,
David
oh.
Frank has never had a real job in his life.
It's like the people who say, oh, Super Mega Force ruins Gokaiger. Well, it's not erasing Gokaiger from existence. It's what fucking JDF's doing. Oh, if you don't vote for me, you're erasing my character from existence. You must hate me. No, go away. Fucking moron. Then he's like, oh. Turns out, guys, you get more than one vote per day, so I need you to set your alarms for like every 8 hours.
Here's a plate of cookies. Like, I don't know why that was. I don't know. Like,
what,
is this supposed to make people happy?
If you delete your browser's cookies,
Yeah, you can just revote.
Then you can vote as many times as you want. If you enter the sweepstakes that many times, you'll get flagged, and then you'll lose your chance of winning. But the little JDF cronies don't really give a shit. They're just resetting their cookies, and they're clearly not, because it's not working.
Because
well,
they don't,
you can just...
Because you have to realize they're too stupid. They don't know how to reset their cookies.
Every new tab on a private browsing window just works.
Does it?
But
apparently you've tried this.
No, someone on Twitter said it.
Oh. Well, and then do you read the comments these people post when, like, when he puts up one of these things? Like, do you read the shit they say? Like,
oh yeah.
No way, man! You're a legend. I want to suck your dick. What? I didn't say that. But seriously, dick mouth now. And that's like a black dude saying that.
I don't know why that part matters, but this shit, they're all like,
funny,
but
black.
They all sit there like, oh man, nothing beats those originals. Like,
God,
you know,
you see that so much on his shit.
Like, it's ridiculous. Oh, Dawson, did you get the two trains?
No,
they're in stock right now in AmiAmi.
Oh, sweet, thanks. Going to AmiAmi now. Stop defacing book. Going to AmiAmi.
But no, I can't, like, get over this. Like, it's just so extreme, and it's a stupid contest for fun and coupons, and like he took it so extreme, and because he took it so extreme, everyone else took his extreme, and that wasn't even English.
What?
But
and then you saw where like somebody posted like Igalardo's picture where he's giving you a valid reason to vote for Andros, Trent, and they're like, oh, see, this is a hater right here, someone just trying to be anti-JDF. You're right, because Andros saving the entire universe, that's no reason at all to like him. Like,
he
JDF
killed Zordon, he ridded the word of a pervert. World, not word, sorry.
Like, he clearly...
An asshole, I mean. Zordon.
Go get shot at by Titanus, our friend, while searching for these guns, while I sit here and laugh at you. Ha ha. Like, oh, thanks, douche.
I got him. Thanks, Kevin. Brian, speaking of, thanks for getting me the bazooka. You never told me you actually got it.
Oh.
Oh.
Because you asked me a while back, and then I was checking my order. I'm like, oh shit, it's there. I'm glad I wasn't monitoring it or anything. So, thanks.
Well, yeah, I didn't know I didn't do that. Or
I bought the bazooka,
it's
too.
Cool.
Bazooka Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like in his post, too, which is the most funny part. He's like, everyone vote for me. Yeah. I'm like, you know, you're just like,
he still does it. All the time. It never stops. Just always, yeah.
I'm so used to seeing that done as a joke that when I look at his Twitter feed, it kind of doesn't kick in right away that he's doing this seriously.
did you like my little making fun of him thing, or I was like, vote for me in the douchebag awards. Whatever, douchebag Magnus? What the fuck?
Magnus? That's just JDF's new MMA name. Douchebag Magnus. He seriously really has become kind of a douche.
And then, like I said this on Twitter, I'll always like the character, but he's just become such a giant dick, and I can't handle it. It's like just bad.
Yeah,
he is a turd sandwich.
I know. I find this sandwich. And all these.
Call him a turd sandwich.
Yes.
Okay.
Giant douche and turd sandwich.
Got
from
it.
South Park.
It's so much fun to watch unfold, though, on Twitter.
Oh, it is. I love the drama. I love the drama from both sides. It's really entertaining to me. Like, because both sides handle it, like I said, just so extreme that it's so great to watch. Like, I can't handle it. It's great.
Brian's sitting back with some goddamn popcorn.
To be fair, he's always doing that.
Well, yeah, I was about to mention that part, too, but... Just sitting there like, look at these fucking idiots. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing how out of hand this got very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
And he essentially, if he wants to find the mastermind behind the rigging, it was him. Because he's the one that caused it.
If he would have kept his mouth shut... Oh, that's really wrong. Okay, that's why I was confused. Yeah. That completely unrelated. But if he would have kept his mouth shut, or just kept it to, oh, hey, there's a voting thing, vote for me, yeah, no one would have cared. But when he started going like, oh, I'm best in the world, everyone vote for me, I'm the best ever, and like then it started getting out of hand, people were like, well, we shouldn't really vote for him because he's got an ego, and then he's like, oh, bribery, oh, haters, and then it just, there it goes, wartime.
We can't let it get out of hand or we'll turn into Seacrest Hulk. I know this.
You mean like Jason Font's doing? Where he's just like, vote for me. And he's like, oh shit, I'm losing. Oh well, whatever.
Oh, I'm losing. Just, oh,
just
man.
Like, just like, oh, fuck it.
Who's he up against?
RJ.
RJ.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I know. Like, it's funny because you see JDF being like a crazy fucking person. And then here's like Jason Font being all cool about it. And then I'm like, I kind of feel sorry. I didn't feel bad for not voting for him.
Like, yeah, I hated that matchup because Wes is, like, one of my favorite Red Rangers. But he's up against RJ, so all bets are off.
I just think it's funny that JDF's sort of behaving like a D-list diva who's, like, afraid if he doesn't win this, then he's going to go away forever. He's like, come on, guys, we got to do this. We got to pull through. I'm like, dude, it's just a self-vote thing. Like, we got to do this, man. Set your alarms, cookies, bribes, whatever. I think one of my favorite tweets was from Toku Joe where he said, I bet JDF will start giving out blowjobs for votes. I thought that was good.
Like, he'd swear he's Kathy Griffin. Like,
I love it.
Living life on the JDF list instead of just the D list.
That's funny.
It's been good times, but it's over this Monday, so I don't know what we're going to do. This Morphin Madness thing.
Well, there's one more round.
Is there?
No, he's fucking stupid.
Well, this has been established.
It's going to end for him on Monday, because all of his characters are going to lose because no one likes him anymore.
Like, it's kind of crazy how much the anti-Tommy campaign worked. I mean, because he was winning pretty normally, and then once that whole thing started, within, a day, it was, 70-30.
Yeah, it was a huge turnaround.
It was pretty great. I just wish the fake NPH was beating Jason.
Yeah, that's the only matchup that I'm...
he's not. Right, I haven't looked at it.
Just not Dominic's getting, completely ass-wiped by Jason Rocky.
Josh. Or Raisin. Raisin sounds like ricin. It's a poison.
Right.
Right?
speaking of right...
Brilliant segue.
I think it's funny.
Oh, time to talk about The Price is Right, a brand new segment.
What are we talking about? Right.
Drew Carey for the win!
I don't know. I like the original with Bob Barker.
Can't beat the original.
Just like
they tell you to cut your pet's balls off
without Gary. Instead, we got press conference chick from E3. She's actually pretty funny.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at this right now, the Morphin Madness thing, and about a day and a half ago.
The segue. Sorry, Brian.
Sorry. Well. And I just thought it was funny, because where it says Trending Rangers,
literally a segue just got stolen. Sorry,
Paul Bart took it.
See? People care.
It was Tommy, and Jason, and now all the hot ones are Trent, Gold Ranger, and Andros. Everyone's just going in and voting for those three matchups and leaving.
At one point it was Tommy.
Yeah, and now they're all gone.
How can you not vote for him? He's a legend. He's got a green stripe in his hair, and he's got his own reality show. Everyone knows Constantine's the star of that show. Let's get over it. He's even getting his own DC show. I heard about it. It's called Constantine.
Now can we segue into superhero test?
Well, now that Ryan's has been stolen by Paul Blart.
Speaking of right?
Let's just say the line again. It'll work.
Udonna's losing to Trini in this film.
Speaking of right, Udonna's losing to Trini.
Well, that's not right. I'm sorry.
Well, this is... See? I got it back, guys.
Now it's time for...
Superhero time! Tokuger! I just realized I didn't think of something like that either. My whole segue is gone. Gaim! On stage!
Man,
with
we're gonna get
the coolest DJ ever. What episode? This is episode 6? Yeah.
Yes.
Someone help. Okay.
Like, no one helped me when I was left alone with the kid.
That was funny.
I couldn't find
the
cat. It's terrifying.
It was like, what episode is this? Crickets chirp. I'm like, fuck.
Where's the kitty? Crickets chirp. Fuck.
Dawson's looking everywhere.
What are you, Boo? I can't find Sully right now.
Oh my god. Well, you know that there's a toy Boo that sounds just like her, so it's really creepy. But yeah, so this episode starts where the last one left off. They're like, let's go look for that train. So they go look for that train. Hikari's like, I'm going to tie a string to a tree because I don't have any confidence in Wright whatsoever. Which is a good thing he did, because Wright took him in circles. And like, well, fuck. We need a leader. And he's like, well, he's number one. Let's go with him. He's like, nah, fuck it. Tokachi, you're a leader. And so he's like, whoop. And then like, hey, I see you guys like behind the tree. Like, it's really fucking obvious. We're all wearing black and we're in a forest. And like, oh shit, we forgot our camouflage. So they start fighting General Swartz, and he totally pwns them. I mean, like, seriously pwns their asses. And he takes Tokachi hostage so that Wright will show him where the train is. Because he's like, I want a fleet of trains, and I'm going to steal your trains to add to my fleet of trains. And they're like, you're a dick. And so he's like, okay, well, let's go find the train. And he's like, ah, you were taking me in circles before because you knew we were here. How very clever of you. He's like, yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. And the other, and then Blue, Green, and Yellow are like, what? And Pink's like, see, I knew you were smart. And they're like, god damn it. You're fucking stupid. And so Wright and Tokachi go off with Swartz and his crows or whatever. And meanwhile, Green, Yellow, and Pink are like, let's go find that train. I think it's this way. And like, because he had some food, and that's going to lead us to the train. I'm like, oh, okay. And they get to this bamboo forest, and Wright's like, oh, fuck, we're going the wrong way. Let's go the other way. And Swartz is like, I'm pretty sure the fucking train is here, you idiot. You made that face like, oh, shit, nah, I saw it. He's like, damn it. So Wright is about to, like, fuck their shit up. The tank Russia comes in because they Green, Yellow, and Pink got to it first, and Hikari's like, haha, fuck you, Swartz. And so he like attacks Wright and Tokachi, but Tokachi gets freed and they transform. They start fighting, they kill all the crows. Swartz goes to his dark liner, which starts beating up on the tank. So they summon the rest of their trains. They use the tank Russia to give them some super energy fuel or something because they're not stronger than the Darkliner. So then Schwartz is like, oh yeah, well fuck you. And he turns his train into a giant robot. And they're like, we can do that too. And they make Tokuo and then combine Tank Russia with it to make Tokuo tank. And now they're boxers for some reason. And they beat up his train and blow it up. And he's like, damn you, Tokugers! And he like shakes his fist at them, and he goes back to the BGB, where like that big fat baby chick is like, "Oh, General Swartz, oh, I'm so concerned about you." He's like, "Get the fuck off me, you fat bastard!" And she's like, "Oh, silly Swartz." And so he's like, "I'm gonna get those Tokugers," and he starts hearing their voices come out of the little transmitter because they found where it was, and Wright's like, dude, this is illegal, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? You're a bad guy. He's like, yeah, that's the bit. And so he crushes the transmitter, and they're like, fuck you. We're going to get some more trains. And their support trains go their separate ways, which was kind of disappointing because I would love to see their train just get bigger. But whatever. And they're like, let's go find more trains and be Tokugers. And they leave, and then it ends. So... this was a pretty funny episode. I kind of liked when they were going in circles. And the leader thing was kind of silly, but it was funny because they're like, oh, look, she's a she's a nagging leader. Lol. Because she's a woman. She nags us.
It kind of reminded me of the Ghost Age episode where they were trying to figure out who the leader was, and all that it did was make them overthink it, so they just kept fucking up.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, they couldn't decide.
Didn't that happen, like, really late in Ghost Age to where it didn't really make sense?
It was, like, in the 30s or 40s?
Yeah, it was in the Manta Rentis arc.
I think that's actually what kind of worked about it, was because they operated fine for so long, and then when they stopped to think about it, they're like, oh, shit, if we really think about this, then we're just messed up. In this one,
but like, and they're like, oh, we'll all just be leader. Like, but yeah, so that was pretty funny. But the tank was pretty cool. I don't know. I'm kind of liking this show so far. I really wasn't expecting to at first when everything started coming out about it, but I'm really enjoying it every week. Like, it's not like Kyoryuger levels of like awesomeness, but it's kind of weird and silly in its own way, and it's just really fun to watch. Like, I watch Gaim, you know, every week, and it's like, oh, we love Gaim so much, but then, you know, I watch this afterwards because summary, and it's just different. It's still enjoyable. It's not like, oh my god, that was the best thing ever. I was like, well, I enjoyed that. That was fun. I get some laughs, and it's not bad. I love it. What say you?
It's not bad. I love it. That's very confusing.
I know. I can't articulate properly. What say you, oh wise sensei?
I'll go. I thought it was really fun. I mean, it's so far it's a show that hasn't really went anywhere, but I'm still having fun with it. But I mean, it makes these discussions really awkward because there isn't a whole lot to talk about. Because there's nothing really progressing, and I mean that the action's good, but usually it's nothing to write home about.
Well, I wrote home once and no one wrote me back. That's why it's nothing to write home about. Well, so that's well, they sent me a text and said, "Why'd you write me a letter?" So it was very confusing. Got it. Gotcha.
You're an idiot.
Gotcha. Almost breaking our Ghost Ager twice for amusement.
But no, I do like Tank. It works a lot better than Car Carrier. It actually, like, lets him fight. Car Carrier just kind of, he's waving around this, like, giant dick arm.
Every time he keeps saying, I really like Tank, I'm just thinking of the dude from Forza. To be honest, I'm like, when did he show up?
But no, I mean, it was fun, and the leader thing works in a show like this early on. And I like how they basically establish that, you know, we really don't need one.
Yeah.
We're okay.
I like how they did it. There comes the killer train. Yep. We have a leader when we need one. It's just whoever will step up will step up.
Whoever's focus episode is that week, well, they'll take care of it. It's kind of works that way. I thought that when he got beat down by all those henchmen, I thought it was kind of brutal just because he's such a nice guy. It's like seeing a nerd get mauled by bullies. He wasn't even wearing a conductor's hat, and he's on a train, so it would make sense.
I feel like the crows were like JDF's goons.
Vote green! Yeah! Kicks shit out of... That's essentially what happened.
Tokachi's like, but I just really like Trent. Like, fuck you.
I don't know the main villain's name yet. Oh, Schwartz. That's right.
Schwartz.
Schwarzwalder Kirschtorte. How dumb was it for him to tell them that he had the place bugged when he could have just kept the bug there forever and learned all their plans for the rest of the season?
Yeah,
well, what's his face found it.
I know, but still, he didn't know that.
True.
And I wouldn't be like, aha, I bugged you over this, like, one train when, like, you could monitor them later. Or, you know what, plant explosive device and blow them up. But then the show would be over and it would be really sad. But, I mean, it just seemed kind of stupid, like, as evil plans go, it seems stupid.
I do kind of like how dominating he was in the fight.
Oh, so. He kicked their ass so hard.
Like, when he slapped them, he was like...
It's such a contrast, because with Kyoryuger, like, they were so strong that they hardly ever got their asses kicked.
Well, they were the strongest and bravest in history, so there was no competition.
And then here we are with Tokyuger, like, oh, no, oh, God, and they fall over. So it's just such a big contrast to what we were used to with...
Well, I love how they did the thing where, like, you can't even see him move. Like, you just see him and he's just standing there.
He has smoke powers.
For whatever reason... It kept making me laugh whenever Tokyo Ichigo would say that he's imagining punching Schwartz in the face. I'm like, that's for whatever reason, I just kept picturing him saying, I'm going to deck you in the schnaz. kind of thing, like this. Because it doesn't sound super threatening when he's just like, I'm pretending that I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, okay, dude.
Doing terrible things to you in my head.
I'm imagining punching you in the face. In my head.
Doing terrible things to you in my head right now. It's seriously getting weird in there. Like, there was some very confusing stuff. I'm going to have to address later with my therapist. But, like, right now, I just want to get out of here. What are you doing later? Wait, no. I'm just more confused now. Like, this whole bottom thing is really doing it for me. I'm already wearing lipstick. It's just getting weird.
I do like the continued highlight on Hikari being the only reliable one on the team.
He's our shadow leader.
Yeah. My name means light.
Like, you fucking idiot. I kind of like that Wright's a dick. Like, I just think it's funny.
Where's that coming from in this episode? He really didn't do much.
Yeah.
Well, not in this episode, just in general. Like, that's his personality, where he's just a dick. I enjoy that. Maybe it's just because I'm an asshole. I don't know.
I think that he's more just ignorant. He's like, he's not self-aware.
Yeah.
What is it with you and self-aware?
Me? Oh, well, that was like more like, oh, it's not human. I don't know. I was doing a bit.
That's a three-year-old child. They're self-aware.
You know what? I turned it into a Rugrats bit, so it's fine. Your family's name is now Cordelia and Angelica. It's fine. I got it.
What he meant was that he's not aware of others.
Yeah.
Which I agree.
Because, you know, a dick, that's Kaiza. That's being a dick. just actively plotting for Fat Mio. But he's just kind of, you know, really self-aware.
Fat Mio.
Yeah, that's her name. I don't remember her real name. Was it Mai?
No.
Oh. Somebody's name's Mai.
It was... Mai is the chicken Gaim.
Oh. Well, it just seems like there's always a girl.
You know, I was listening to the podcast the other day. You could even get English names right.
Like who? Dr. Hyena? Whatever.
No,
he's not even English.
Like the Power Ranger names. You completely just like fuck them up at one point. Like, I forgot what you were talking about. You could even get those right. And here we are hoping you get Japanese ones correct. But what idiots we are.
You always screw up Clement's name in Pokemon.
That's true, but it's so confusing.
How? His name is Clement.
I don't know. The last one's name was... Damn it, green hair. Damn it. Shit, this is like a perfect... Yes. Exactly.
I didn't even watch it and I know that.
It's been so long.
Oh my god.
Oh,
Mari. It's Mari, you idiot.
Oh, it was close. Come on, there was just an R. Seriously. We could just borrow one from us and then it's settled. And it would just be RR, and then we just turn into the Red Ribbon Army. I like how our name is like every time you erase an R, we're just a different organization. Like if you get rid of one, we're the Red Ribbon Army. If you get rid of a second one, then we're Team Rocket. It's actually kind of brilliant. It's like we're master
Team Rocket. Mike Ginn is losing, and I'm sad.
Yeah, who's he up against?
I don't know. I wasn't looking.
Troy.
Why the fuck is Troy winning?
Because he's Captain Troyvilus. Never let go of your weapon. Anyway.
You know, before we move along, I'd like to discuss... So they had that list of quote-unquote hacked sounds. Which, first of all, why do people on Ask.fm keep asking us, like,
is it real? Are people really doing this? How do you do it? Can you do it for me? Okay, go away, first of all.
Do you like to do it yourself?
I like how I just said it was an elaborate ruse.
Like, that right there is just pissing me off. But I would, like, first of all, I would hope that, I mean, they made the sounds and it's got to be true. But I want to see, like, the whole hyper give them, like, just a whole new set of trains.
Hyper trains?
Like, well, not necessarily, like, not like a hyper red, but just like that five of those names, whatever they are, is something that they get from going hyper mode. Like, you know how, like, they got Super Geki mode, and they got the gorilla, and the penguin and stuff, and the antelope? That, like, the same type deal.
So they're going to get a gorilla train, and a gazelle train, and a penguin train. I gotcha.
We'll see. Like, we could.
What I also would like to see is, like, that they're, what else, what is it? It's 6, 7, 8, and then, like, their number, train 11 is another big one that combines with police and fire, and I would like to see a 7th Tokuger come in and pilot it, just because.
Giant hospital train.
A giant hospital train. Well, no, like, well that way, like, because otherwise you have to, like, pull somebody, like, out of Tokyo to go drive it. Because, like, I figured Diesel is going to be driven by Orange. So then, like, if you have, like, this third robot, you have to, like, pull Wright or somebody out of Tokyo to pilot it. And that just has always seemed awkward to me.
I want the puppet, like, to pilot it.
Like, why is it that one minute you need all five of them to pilot the giant robot, but then, oh, look, we got the second robot. Who's going to pilot it? Hey, how about two of you guys go into that robot and you pilot it, and the other three will stay here.
Except it's usually red.
But we need five guys to pilot this. Yeah, no, that's fine. Just move over. Like, or they just start splitting up everywhere. Like, it's just, I don't know, that always just seemed weird. They've done it a few times, and I never really understood how that worked. Like, what about the control panel the other ones are pretending to push buttons at? What is going on there? There's just alarms going off, like, oh, I can't manage that panel, too. I got my panel to pretend to push buttons in front of. I don't know. I don't think I make any sense anymore.
Panels. I got
Brian
it.
Brian has a tiny penis.
Yep. Gaim.
Thank you.
Well, fuck
speaking
you.
Of Gaim.
That's a good segue. So, Gaim. This week's episode was really good, as opposed to other weeks where it was just also really good. It's pretty different. But this week was so good, he wrecked shit. I'm trying to think where to start, because we have to pretty much dissect every scene. Well, go ahead. You start, then. Just push me off stage. Well, then why do I have the microphone?
I was just going to suggest starting at the start.
Well, that makes sense. Koto was left in despair, so he was pretty depressed. You know, he went to the Groovy Smoothie. And, you know, I really like the way each of his sort of next steps in his story are handled. And how they're also, usher in, like, a new form. And I just like that every time he gets sort of knocked down in any kind of way and set back, he just sort of gets right back up and doesn't stay depressed for too long, whether it was when he saw the shit was serious when he first ran into Zangetsu, or when he was kidnapped by Yggdrasil when he got Jimba arms, and then now. And I really like how, the one thing that Koto is kind of ignorant to is Michi being involved in all of this. He has no idea, but I like how even though he doesn't know what Michi's doing, he doesn't let Michi's manipulation get to him. Because Michi has been trying to manipulate him to do what he wants, but he never listens. This episode, he's like, man, you should just go home, take a bottle of pills, get him some wine, and do what's natural. And Koto's like, man, fuck that noise. I'm going to go wreck shit. And then he's like, burn anew, fuck your couch. I'm Rick James. Like, I love that. That,
oh,
like,
God.
Even
someone make us a gif of Kachinoki arms shooting at all of the, all of the Kuro Kages. With the caption, fuck the old couch.
But it's just great because, you know, I love that even though he doesn't know that Michi's a two-faced little twerp, he doesn't, like, let Manichi Manichi. He doesn't let Manichi manipulate him. And he kind of perseveres through it. Like, I love how frustrated and angry Michi was when he's like, I think I finally got Kota out of the game. Next thing you know, cut to footage of badass samurai blowing up their weapon. and I love Ryoma. Like, the fuck? I didn't even make that. He's beating people with flags. What is going on? And then he's just like, burn. That was the episode. So good.
I like DJ Sagara. I just want to put that out there.
This was a big episode for Kota. I just wanted to start by saying that the scene at the beginning where he's just sort of standing there staring at the place where they first found or went into Helheim. Oh. He's just staring at the wall and he's just kind of silently crying to himself. I really like that. That
was upsetting.
That sounds like you like his crying. Good.
Oh, you know what I mean. I enjoy the scene. It was a really nice little touch. Kota just kind of finally standing up for himself. For the past few weeks, we've had episodes where, you know, things have been getting revealed. And a lot of it's just been people telling Kota what's going to happen. You know, people are telling him or showing him, here, this is how things are. This is how things are going to be. And you can't do anything about it. So this episode, we finally get Kota just kind of standing up and saying, you know what? No. Fuck that.
Fuck that couch.
You know what? No, this is the status quo that I am setting here. And I like that. You know, it's after all these weeks, he's the one saying, you know what? No, this is what's going to happen.
He is the one fucking the couch.
And he goes and he blows up their weapon and he's just like, if you want to keep your secrets, then get serious about protecting the city. I'm out.
I don't got time for this. I don't got time for no amateur couch.
Drops the mic.
Drops his DJ gun. Comes back for it. This was expensive. Sorry. And you know, during his fight with Zangetsu, when Zangetsu like knocked him off, I was like, damn it, how can he lose? He just got a power up. And then Doc Brown came up with a DeLorean and he rose up. And he's like, fuck you, Biff. So I'm so happy that he didn't lose because I was like, oh, come on. How many power-ups does he have to get?
Just talking about that scene, the Kachidoki arm scene, I always felt like the one thing that Gaim sort of just did average was action. Like, it was never bad. It was just sort of, yeah, okay, that's cool.
When are they going to talk some more?
But today, it's not today, but this week, it was like, that was fucking badass.
I know, right?
Like, Kachidoki Arms was really cool. He's just standing there as the Kuro Kages riddle him with bullets, and he gives no fucks. Like,
not a single fuck was given this day.
Yeah, he's just...
This isn't even my final four.
He's just firing back with his gun, like... they're just constantly shooting him. It's not even phasing him. He's you know, finally this man on a mission who's, you know, like I say, he's finally standing up for himself. And it's, and excuse the joke, but the whole thing feels kind of triumphant in a way.
I see what you did there.
Well, you know what's insane is that when you look at where we started and where we're at now, in terms of several of the characters, I mean, not just Kota, but also you have Kaito and some of these other ones, Michi. And we're only halfway through the show. And we've already seen, like this much of a change in them, and this much happened, this much of a growth. It's almost frightening. Where the hell are we going to be in 25 more episodes?
Plays with squirrels levels.
They'll just go crazy and just go off into the forest.
Like, the end of the series is just going to be Earth is taken over by Helheim. And it's just Michi with a long beard with that big book of blank pages and the one line that says, lose one friend, lose all friends, lose yourself. It actually makes sense. And he also married a moose. That happens. You know, the last couple weeks we talked about how it sort of seemed like the odds for Gaim seemed so overwhelming because he was just this one dude against like this whole organization and this whole forest, and that hasn't changed. But I thought this episode did a really good job of giving him a really big moment and a big victory in terms of the fight and taking down their sort of death machine. Because even though he's just the one dude, he managed to do that and sort of even the odds a little bit.
I actually didn't realize what he was doing at first. I thought like the top of the tower was going to come down. I didn't know what was happening. Like, he's just blowing shit up under there. I'm like, is it going to fall? Like, is someone going to get hurt?
He's going to spray paint above the Space Needle.
But, like, and the reason I mentioned the character thing is that there's a lot of times in some of the writer shows that they don't get this much development over the course of the entire series. And here we are halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, heck, like, just for Gaim itself, it could have been so easy for them to just sort of lose Coda amongst all of this story that's going on. Like,
having all these different writers.
Yeah, we've gotten so many reveals over the past couple of months that it could have been easy for the focus to kind of slip away from Coda, and this kind of brings it all back, and it uses all those reveals and all of those moments to its benefit. Like I said, you have all those times where Coda's just kind of being like put through the ringer. He's being manipulated, he's being told that he can't do anything, and finally he's just like, you know what, fuck it. You're wrong. I don't like the fact that our society has this unwritten rule that we have to sacrifice people in order to protect others. That's bullshit. I should be able to protect everyone if I want to.
I'm in charge now. I've got the DJ gun.
Like, when he was flying in on the dandeliner on top of the tower.
So threatening. Got my dandelion bike, you fucks. Weeds. You're going to get allergies.
All the lasers are shooting at him. It reminded me of the Death Star run level on Rogue Squadron. Like, just everything.
Silence.
I know, right? No one remembers that game, unfortunately.
I remember the Death Star game. But...
Like it's just like, especially the second one, the second Death Star level. You're just flying in, and it's just guns just blasting you from everywhere, and you're trying to like navigate through it. I don't know. It was the first thing I thought of. I guess because a bunch of red lasers and he was flying with CGI. I didn't make sense, but
you know, with Kota making so much noise, it's easy to forget that also in this episode, Kaito made contact with the Grongi.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I was getting a real Grongi vibe from this episode.
What are you saying?
So the bait was books. Like, are they like baiting them because the inmates are so frustrated they can no longer read?
Dictionary,
you can't read.
Book and the Voyager tablet. Like, what are you doing with that?
like I was watching this episode and they mentioned that it was bait. I'm like, oh, I did kind of call it. And then it's revealed that it's just a book. I'm like, well, kind of.
I'm like, you stole that plate from Megatron. Stop it. He needed it to find the Energon.
Next thing you know, they're going to believe in College America tabs out. Like, education's their bait. College America might only be here. So, it's just a college, though.
I do kind of like the whole kind of shades of Grongi, because that was something that was really interesting about Kuga, was the fact that at the beginning, they just seem like mindless beasts. And then further in, you get into the series, you realize that they're actually quite intelligent, and they have their own sort of society going on. Mm-hmm. And that'd be interesting to see here, because we have been kind of questioning what exactly is running Helheim. Yeah.
Well, they kind of explained, you know, that they are invests, you know, people that turn into invests, but that evolve to another level, in which they either maintain their consciousness or achieve a new level of consciousness, but they don't really care about their job, apparently. But they might have the power to stop Helheim's invasion. I like how it made it seem like the forest has been waiting to find, like, a government, and they formed it off of that old planet, and then they didn't give a fuck. So they're like, oh, damn it, now we gotta go to another world. Because these guys are just running around trying to read, going, it sounds like Brian when he does his sped up reviews. That's what the invest languages sound like.
Like, and now this episode's got me really curious as to, well, what exactly the fuck is DJ Sagara?
Yeah.
Jesus, obviously.
Like, because this whole time I'm thinking, like, I'm thinking, oh, he's just some other, like, partner in this, you know, plot by Yggdrasil. He's, you know, he's there to play music and stir up the whole beat writer thing. And then he comes in, he knows all this shit about Helheim, and then can magically take an Earth Orange and make it into the Kachidoki Lockseed.
Yeah.
And then vanish into thin air. He can talk to, like, fake Mai. Like, what is this guy? What is going on? I need to know more, and he is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, because for a while we've kind of been questioning what exactly he's been up to, because he's, as time has gone on, he has seemed a little more weird. Like, okay, why is he just sort of handing Coda these upgrades? Why is he helping him? Where is he getting this stuff? And finally, like, we do kind of understand now where he got the lemon energy lock, at least allegedly.
He probably just hopped it by Walmart. It's Walmart. It's like, boom, Loxy, check that out.
But yeah, I am really looking forward to seeing just exactly what or who he is. Because right now it's really up in the air.
Yeah, it's so crazy because there's so many, like, layers to the story. Like, it's, like, bigger than we even imagined. It's, like, slowly ever since the beginning. It's, like, we continuously zoom out and see that it's bigger and bigger. And, you know, we still have all these mysteries with Yggdrasil. But then there's this whole other thing on the outside with DJ and Fake Mai. And there's just so much going on. And I want to find out about all of it.
Like, that's the thing. And it's, like, I keep bringing this up, but when you realize, when you see is all this going on, and then you take a step back and look at it, and you go, we're only halfway in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's insane to think about, because for the past, like, 4 years, 5 years or more, they don't give you this much plot anything until about episode 46.
Unless you're Mega Ranger, and they give you nothing.
Well, insofar as Common Matter shows goes anyway, like, you know, Forze, Wizard, they all gave you the stuff right at, like, episodes 44, 45, 46, like, three or four before the end. Then you get all this plot dump as to what happened, what's going on, who everyone really is, and then it all makes sense. Here, they're just giving you, like, all this stuff, bringing more questions in. They answer a couple of things, but then give you, like, eight more questions. And, you know, we just keep seeing it's bigger. There's more to it. There's this angle for this person. You know, Ryoma's working his angle. Sid's doing his thing.
Killing, like, people.
There's just so many different things. There's Kaito over here and Kota. Bravo's over there making cakes.
Bravo's just like, the Beat Raiders. Still cracks me up. They're just mocking. Sorry. So good. I always forget they exist until, like, a day after I've just watched a new episode of Gaim, where I'll look over at my Gaim shelf and I see Greedon. I'm like, oh, hey, I wonder what those two are doing while everyone else is wrecking shit.
Wish my Greedon was here.
Fake Mai is another thing that we haven't seen for a really long time now.
Yeah.
This was the first time in,
like, ten episodes
that we've seen her.
Also, I love that Coach never pays his bill. That boy. Like, oh, fuck, he paid. Today's a special day.
Put this on my tab. He never pays.
Like, you're thinking he's being overly generous today, and they're like, yeah, he never pays. He still owes us, like, a shitload of money. Like, oh.
He's got a 12,000 yen tab.
Sounds like Asanoki.
I did really enjoy the the discussion between DJ and Coda, where he's sort of, you know, willing him on to find something to use his power for. It was such an interesting conversation. I just really enjoyed it, and I kind of like how they make Kaido almost seem more interesting now, the way he sort of phrased it, to where how Yggdrasil and the people who work there are weak because they just think within the rules. They don't, you know, they acknowledge their weakness and, you know, they don't try to overcome it. They just find another path and so on and so forth. But Kaido is, you know, the kind of guy who's so obsessed with strength that he doesn't even think about weakness. It doesn't even cross his mind. So because he's so focused like that, it's what makes him unique amongst, you know, the rest of the characters, that he can't really be controlled necessarily.
That's why he's got banana. He just takes that big dick fruit and just shoves it in there.
Exactly.
Just powers his way through.
Brilliant rebuttal to what Aerosol just said.
I gotta honk the horn in his face.
But yeah,
I wanna know why the DJ is taking such a shine to Kota. Like, he's not going up to greet him and being like, "So buddy, you get back in that fight."
Coach has just got that undeniable quality that makes him a star. It's like Toby.
like he's only showing himself to Kota. Nobody else has gotten to talk to him in public.
Showing himself? Whoa.
He exposes himself. "Hey, Kota, come over here and see this." "Oh, put that away."
He appeared before both him and Kaito when he gave him the tulip hopper, right?
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about that.
He showed himself
to
all of his viewers.
Well, there was something interesting that he said to Fake Mai towards the end of the show, where he can't see the future, but he knows pretty much exactly who she is, you know, and he knows what it's like to be chosen by her. I thought that was really interesting because it's kind of like, so was he one of the previous like inhabitants of that other world?
That's what you're led to think, at least.
Yeah.
Is that he's like the sole survivor of whatever Helheim used to be.
Yeah, it's so confusing and interesting. And you know, there was that whole thing that she said to Kota at the start of the series about how if you turn back, you can't change what happens. And there's like that whole like inevitability of it all. So... And there's someone yelling at us in the background. Calm down, yes. Son. But yeah, it's just so much I got to know.
The whole thing is alternate Earth and he is Kota?
God. What if the whole thing is just a dream by the Tokyoers? I would be so upset. And the explanation, it's not supposed to make sense. It's a dream. No!
Well, like, he knows what it's like to be chosen. Kota was chosen. He's Kota from an alternate whatever.
Well, maybe he was just on American Idol. And then Helheim, American Idol, she's Paula.
I'm going to Helheim!
So she's drunk all the time?
Helheim week! It's literally Hell Week.
Oh, no, I got the bit. Thanks.
No. It's not even there. It's in Pasadena. It's the neighborhood next to Helheim.
But yeah, with all of the interesting stuff that's been going on, it does kind of make it a shame that we're not getting a normal episode next week.
I know. That's what annoys me about the team up the most. I'm like, you're wasting an entire episode of Amazing Guy for this stuff.
I hope they keep the idol contestants away from Little Korea.
Well, all I heard was Korea.
Yeah.
I hope they keep the idol contestants away from Little Korea. They're right there in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah, because it's dangerous. Okay.
And they might get raped.
They got like 16-year-olds in there and shit. They might get raped.
But yeah, next week the Tokyugers will be hanging out with Coda and Kaido and a psychopath. Seriously, it's so weird looking, like, looking at those scenes of the Tokyugers hanging out with Michi.
I want the entire episode to be about Michi manipulating them off of his show.
I sit and think, and I'm like, Michi will slit you guys' throats while you sleep. You should probably leave.
He will slit you guys' throats. You best get out of Dodge.
Like, I love how we keep getting questions like, are you excited about the crossover? I'm like, am I supposed to be?
It seems so weird because of how involved Gaim is, and there's such a pace to it, and it's very much focused on its story, and Tokyuger's like, and it just seems weird to then have a crossover, and they're at such different places in their lives.
But it is kind of involved because you don't know what the hell they are or what's going on, like, why they are the way they are either. But even still.
Well, every time I try to watch Gaim,
I thought maybe if it took up one episode of Tokyuger, it wouldn't be that bad, but it's an hour long and it's taking up both shows.
Their premieres aren't an hour long.
Worst.
But this is. Let's point that out to everyone.
To be fair, I'm taking both spots.
To be fair, we did sort of leave off on a kind of a good episode to take a break on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, it's kind of like the Gavin thing. I hate that you're taking away an episode from a good show to, like, make time for this shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Brandon.
We got to see Mango Arms again. That was...
Oh, speaking of, because this is something I rarely bring up because we usually talk about the plot, but we have not seen Kiwi Arms since its debut. Does anyone notice that?
I do now.
I hardly notice it because the interesting scenes are kind of just the conversations. And
Didn't he use it in the forest?
Yeah, he did. He used it one other time.
But wasn't that right after his debut?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the episode right after.
It was like the same little story arc, but then after that he's just been either grape arms or manipulating arms.
Heck, Michi doesn't transform too often, actually.
He doesn't need to. He can just convince people to fight for him.
I mean, granted, we only seen Duke like twice, but you know, I don't know. It's a mystery. We barely see Pine and Ichigo.
Well, he's got a giant samurai form with flags to beat people with now.
I mean, like, I understand not seeing Suika because it costs a pretty good amount of budget with the CG you got to do for the giant watermelon. But that's why they don't do these bike fights very often, because that's a lot of money. But, you know, whatever. I mean, despite that, I'm actually not too upset about it. Like, I normally would be like, oh man, we're not seeing the other forms. I'm like, I really don't care. Well, the rest of the show is just so damn good. I can't bring myself to care.
To be fair, Pine and Ichigo weren't super interesting in the grand scheme of things. And
they really aren't.
They served their purpose. Like, they showed that, oh, hey, he can transform into different arms.
Yeah, that kind of was the purpose. That and get more fruit and more toys. But, I mean, fortunately, it's not like I spent a lot of money on toys for them, so.
So, speaking of fruit, shall we move on?
Yep.
All right, for the straight guy. Oh,
now it's time for Super Mega Force Summaries with Shuki.
Did you forget your name?
Super. Super. Super.
Yay.
Pussy.
Speaking of
pussy. This is all about tigers.
Oh, brilliant segue.
I'm clever today.
And Emma.
So they're at the zoo for whatever reason, and there's this big hubbub, and they're like, oh, what's going on over here? Oh, man, it's a zookeeper in with the tigers. Oh, man, look at him. He's just chilling there. And so then they, go and sit on a a picnic table, and they're like, oh, let's try to outsmart each other with facts about random animals.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
And so she starts, Emma's really stalkerish with Casey, and starts taking pictures of him as he's getting his jacket on, which happens to have the Order of the Claw logo on it.
She wants the D.
oh my god, look at that jacket. And so later on, they do stuff in
their bedroom. Later on, they hook up.
She pulls up that picture and just starts touching
Casey's
herself.
Casey's in the park teaching. He's not just a zookeeper. He's still teaching, so everyone go suck it. And so they run into him like, oh, you're that zookeeper. And he's like, yeah, I teach martial arts about not using weapons. And so then the monster guy attacks, and he steals her weapons. Jake and Emma are, just got kicked out of the fight really early because Gokai footage. They're like, oh, man, we kind of suck. And meanwhile, Troy just got, this massive asshole streak. And he's like,
ew.
Rangers never let go of the weapons. God damn it, man. What are we doing?
Do we have to do this special training again?
And so then he kind of runs off. And Jake and I were like, not using weapons. Oh, man, kung fu and shit.
That's convenient. Who does that?
They go back to the zoo. So apparently this is really cheap to get into the zoo. Or it's free, whatever. They go back to the zoo.
How suits work.
And they're like, yo, can you teach us how to not use weapons? He's like, hey, get that bucket and get your ass in this tiger cage, and then I'll teach you. So they get in the tiger cage, they're like, okay, meet me in the park. So they go to the park and they start learning Pai Shua, and he's like, oh, you got the spirit of the snake and the spirit of the phoenix, because that's your old Zords that you don't use anymore, even though they're perfectly fine. So they learn, and then the monster attacks again, and the other three are getting their asses kicked, but they're not letting go of their weapons. So they're doing okay.
They're doing it right.
Casey's like, go, answer your morphers, go, run. Fight the monster. I'm Casey, the Red Jungle Fury Ranger. Bye. And so they're like, okay, and then they run off and they fight the monster and they're like, let's honor Casey, and they Jungle Fury, and it has really nothing to do with the fact that they were the snake and the phoenix, because they're now a wolf and a rhino, but that has nothing to do with anything, apparently. And so they beat the monster without using weapons. They're like, oh, yeah, kung fu. And so the monster gets big, and then they get the Zords, and they're like, let's use Jungle Fury again, and they're like, spirit, animal thing, and all of the Geki Mecha come out of the Legendary Megazord and stampede over the bad guy, and he blows up. And now they're back at the zoo again, because they wanted to thank Casey, and they're like, hey, Casey, and then this guy turns around, like, you're not Casey. He's like, Casey don't work here, no Casey's ever been here, what the fuck, and then Ghost Casey is in a gazebo doing some kung fu shit, and then he disappears.
Casey's dead, guys.
He was there, and Troy's like, I believe you. I believe in you guys now. I was a dick. And then it ends. Okay, here's the thing. I liked it for the most part because it was about Jungle Fury, and I really like Jungle Fury. And that was fine, but the entire episode just seemed incredibly off. Like, it wasn't even so much the fact that the Jungle Fury aspects were off, because I think they were actually okay. But all the characters were acting really weird. Like, Troy was just a big douche all of a sudden. He went from having no personality to being an asshole. And
it's all the angst from missing Robo Knight.
It's finally getting to him, man.
Everyone's here. I can smile. Where's Robo Knight? It's so good.
And I don't know. It just something about the way that it was presented just seemed really off to me. I don't know, but I mean, for what it was, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that they referenced the fact that they were a snake and a phoenix instead of just not even picking animals or anything like that. I thought that was kind of cool. And it's always cool to see the past Rangers again, since we have no idea if we're going to see anyone until the finale.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But it was cool to see Casey again in particular, just because I do like Jungle Fury so much, so...
But yeah, I really did enjoy the episode. I know what you mean about it being a little off. It's pretty much just to, you know, cater to the footage of what their plan is. And we talked about it yesterday, but it's kind of stupid that Noah comes up with a solution. He's like, we can use, like, literally dozens of weapons. And he's like, never let go of the weapon. Remember what I told you about my penis? But I just thought that was kind of funny. But I thought that his cameo was handled really well. I like that it wasn't just a sort of quick thing like Jaden's. Like, not that I thought Jaden's was bad, but I like that Casey was around longer. And I like that, you know, where he was as a Peishwa master made sense based on his whole storyline in Jungle Fury, because he kind of went from a rookie to a master by the end. And I like how it seemed like he evolved a little bit more. And, you know, it did keep it kind of different from John's thing in Geki Ranger by... and being in a zoo, but I wonder why they chose that, because they could have simply had them stumble upon him in the park teaching a martial arts class and been like, hey, he's got some sweet moves and some fly kicks, but I don't know why they chose the zoo thing, other than, you know, the tiger thing, obviously, but it just seemed kind of strange.
They really wanted to film in Auckland Zoo.
Like, the zoo thing would make a lot of sense if they brought Cole back for a Wild Force episode. Like, I could totally see Cole being a zookeeper, because he doesn't have, like, a high school education or anything. So, but I could... That would make sense for, like, Wild Force. Just, that didn't really make sense for Jungle Fury. But other than that, I thought it was well done with that. It would have been kind of neat if they had filmed an original scene where they were in the Gokai suits, but they were sort of using the style they learned from Casey with sort of their... their Ghostager spirit animals.
Yeah, like, that would have been cool. Like, even if they were in just the... like you said, the Megaforce suits and doing that, it would have been kind of a little bit more in line with what the episode was all about than what we ended up getting, because all of a sudden they're like, oh, go catch your suits. Oh, let's go fight Jungle Fury mode. Oh, wolves and rhinos. Okay.
Because the fight seemed like the three guys were getting their ass kicked, and then Jake and Emma were like, relax, we know what to do. We got a new technique. They go up to him, and he, like, pushes him down. Well, that didn't work. Legendary Ranger mode! That's essentially what happened. Like, well, I guess your 5 minutes of training didn't work.
Well, that didn't work.
But it was still pretty good. It was definitely one of the better episodes. I'm very confused by the Casey just disappearing thing, though.
Yeah, like, I get he was, like, supposed to be all, like, oh, he's a mystical teacher, and I don't get it. Like,
they could have just showed them looking off, and then Casey, like, disappears into a crowd instead of randomly poofing. And it's at that point you just hear Crocker, fairies! Oh, Crocker. It's no episode next week, but then the week after we get Silver Ranger. Mm-hmm. I think it's... they're not airing it as an hour, are they? I don't think. I've heard that. So they're doing parts 1 and 2 and then it's hiatus.
Yep.
Yay, hiatus. And people are like, oh my god, they're trying to kill it and stuff. I predict lots of bitching.
What are they going to do?
Lots of weird noises. All right, that's about it then. Now it's time for...
Ramble time.
Yeah! Okay, ramble time. There was Pokemon this week.
Yeah, there was the Mega Meowth robot thing.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of stupid.
Oh, they got Chespin.
So oh, yeah.
Something actually did happen. Chespin was pretty cool.
So I realized...
Clement has Chespin.
This week that they got all three starters on the main team from the professor.
Oh, yeah.
Because hers, she chose from him. Froakie followed Ash, and then Chessman followed him. So he's got, like, no starters to give out to the new trainers. This is going to be, like, an Ash situation. What do we have? Pidgey. What? well, I was going to find a Pokemon native to Kalos, but they're really rare here. We mainly have Pokemon from the other five regions. But yeah, so that was at least neat. We got to see Chespin. I think, wasn't there like a funny moment where they were trapped and they're like, did I get him? And then I just
yeah, sleep. Yeah, Didanai was like, sleeping.
That was pretty great. It was like, Kevin, get him. See, he did it. It's a brilliant impression. Spot on. but yeah, there wasn't much special. Ben 10 was about, racism.
yeah, it was.
I thought that was a pretty entertaining episode. I really dig Ghost Freak's new Grim Reaper look. Sorry.
Yeah, it was a nice setup to the little kind of arc that they're doing with Ghost Freak and stuff.
And I never realized that his name is like, it sounds like The Scare.
Yeah.
I never realized that because I'm an idiot. We established that earlier.
Yeah, we did.
But I did like the whole idea of, they look like monsters to him, but, like, to them, a human looks terrifying.
Right.
And he's like, well, you're just judging them based on the same thing they're judging you. And he's like, no, they're ugly, Rook. God, why aren't you getting this? Like, Ben just couldn't understand
no,
it.
No, Rook, they're monsters.
they're literally monsters.
I thought the episode was just okay. I do like the varied designs that they have for all of the monster aliens.
Yeah.
Like, not all of the werewolf guys look the same, and not all the Frankensteins look the same. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I always like when we get to see, like, little populations of Ben's aliens and seeing different variations of their species. It's kind of neat just to see that.
Does Ghost Freak have the same voice actor he did in the old series?
I believe
so. You know, it sounded similar, but I felt like Ben's version was different. Maybe unless they or it could just be me.
I was gonna say just something sounded kind of off with it. Is all.
It sounded a little more strained. I think he's been smoking. but you know, I was confused because Ghost Freak said something about Ben putting him in the null void, but the last time I remember seeing Ghost Freak was when Ben was it was an episode where Vilgax asked for Ben's help because the Ghost Freak people were taking over his planet, and Ben absorbed Ghost Freak into the Omnitrix and he turned into him for like a second, and then he trapped him in the Omnitrix, and then the Omnitrix exploded and then it exploded.
He didn't say the null void. He said, I think it was the magical dimension.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But still, I don't remember Ghost Freak after that, because I know that he was trapped in that episode. It was like in the second part of Alien Force, and then the Omnitrix blew up. So I don't remember another arc with Ghost Freak between then, unless it's just something we never saw. It was like an off-screen thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Ledger
unless it was like in something else, like, I don't know if it would be in any of the video games or the comic books or anything like that.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up, just because I was curious. I knew they were going to bring him back, and I even just would assume it, because he's kind of one of the main villains, but I was just curious how they would do it, since he would have blown up with the Omnitrix, but I'll have to look it up. I'm kind of glad that they sort of... Damn it, Brian, I know you're playing Infamous. I can hear it. Absorbing glass shards. But then they move past, like, or at least for now, him being, like, involved in the Omnitrix, and that Ben can just use the transformation on his own. And so they're not, like, you know, one and the same.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting is that I only seen a brief flash of it, and I thought that my theory was right, and I looked it up, and Swampfire is getting his new look next week. Anybody else see that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there was, like, in, like, the generic preview for, like, Galactic Monsters, there was, like, a flash of this dude, and I was like, guy kind of looks like a Swampfire. And then I looked it up online, and they showed that he gets a redesign in this episode, and I remember back when I used to follow Derek Wyatt's, what was Ask FM? Formspring. I used to follow his Formspring account during the early days of Omniverse, and someone asked why Swampfire wasn't in it very much, and he said like he didn't really care for the design. He said he hopes maybe later to redesign it if they have time. So I guess they had time. It actually looks pretty neat. I really dig it based on the pictures I've seen. It's on the Ben 10 wiki if you guys want to see it.
I did like seeing Wildvine this week.
Yeah, I really like Wildvine in this series. I really wasn't too much of a fan of his originally, but I really like the voice they've given him and just the way he kind of uses him. And I've really enjoyed him when he shows up. But I hope with Swampfire getting redesigned, he shows up a little bit more just because he was one of my favorites before. And I think he's been used like maybe 3 times, and I don't think he's ever spoke. There was like one episode where he transformed him for like literally a second. And his redesign was essentially the design from the old series in the new cartoon style, except they put the Omnitrix where his belly button goes. Which bothered me because I just thought it looked better on the chest. But I like the new design. I wonder if they'll explain it or whether he'll just be new. I don't know. New powers. Ben 10 new powers. Let's show him a Swampfire Blitz. Just transforms into new form.
That is a weird design.
And yet they still have neglected poor Jet Ray. Poor Jeffrey. Yeah, so that'll be next week. I think it's a Charmcaster episode too.
Yeah.
Charmcaster. Let's see. There's no turtles this week, but according to Kiefer, it comes back April something. He's saying it today.
That's good. Comes back. Wait too long. Watch the trailer?
We're just going to bring that up. Yes, Teenage Mahone Ninja Turtles. He's like, we got to get Schofield, and I made turtles for it. I know he's alive.
Genetically creates the turtles to hunt Schofield. We have to find him in Burrows.
It's actually... Burrows is like, I'll take the turtles, runs at him, beating his chest. Man, I can't wait to see that. Mahone.
Because I never really looked up the cast. Like, I remember when he was announced to play Shredder, I was, like, flipping out because it was a different cast.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know the actor's name, so I didn't really connect it until I watched the trailer, and I recognized his voice first.
Yeah, he's like...
And I'm like, is that him? And then I seen the... He finally like showed his face in the trailer. I was like, oh lord.
Oh god, it's Mahone.
This is gonna be an awkward watch. Ignoring the fact that the turtles look like Shrek.
It's so funny because that the whole like end scene, I was like, man, he looks like Shrek. I wonder if anyone else is gonna notice that. And then I was away from Twitter for a while, and I come back and there's like 3 or 4 things on my timeline of like Photoshop pictures of him as Shrek. So I thought that was pretty funny. I can't remember who plays the turtles though. Mikey definitely wasn't Kevin. And no one else spoke. I mean, at least that I could hear. I mean, there was, like, the action sequence, but nothing that I could make out. But I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I didn't think it was that bad. It was only, like, a minute of footage. It was mainly Mahone just talking about catching the Fox River 8, so... And, I think there was a lot of people were saying, man, they need to go back and make live action like the classic 90s movies. I'm like, if they made the movies like that, they would get laughed out of the theater. Like, with all the stuff we have now, if they went in there with the rubber suits, where, like, half the time they messed up and accidentally showed a bunch of, like, skin underneath the suits, they would probably get laughed out.
I don't feel like they need to make a live action movie at all.
They really don't. Like, this is, I think, purely in response to how well the cartoon's doing.
I thought it was announced before that, but I don't know what was put in
the I think it was announced quite a while ago, actually.
Well, fine.
It was, like, almost canceled.
I think you're right, though.
I am glad that the cartoon established itself and became popular before the movie came out, so we don't get another Green Lantern. Situation going on.
That's unfortunate. We could talk about that for a second. Aerosol sent us that little story about what was planned for Green Lantern. They were going to do the Sinestro Corps, and then was it Blackest Night?
Yeah, and they mentioned that they were going to use the body count that they had accrued over the course of the entire series, which was actually a fair amount. Uh-huh. It definitely would have brought back some old ghosts, since a lot of those people were kind of important to someone.
Yeah. Oh, but man, it's so sad. I love reading those things because they're interesting, but then it also makes me sad because of like all the things that could have been.
And then there's that thing about how they were originally going to go for a TV movie or something like that for Young Justice, but DC Nation said, no, we're going to focus on the new DCU. Great. We could have gotten a Young Justice movie that wrapped up everything, but no. Let's focus on these new movies that you're putting out.
Oh, so stupid. Man, I miss those shows so much. Ramble Time used to be so packed full of meat. That sounds so weird.
Now it's just packed full of stale meat.
But yeah, it's really unfortunate. I think we talked about it several times before, but Green Lantern in particular, because it was so young, but which is funny because Young Justice. But Young Justice too, I mean, even though they have that rule, with the amount of characters and the amount of source material they have, they could have had that show go for a long time. Mm-hmm. Look how long Ben 10's been going. And it's not as if like DC superheroes are like a weak property that's hard to make shows off of. So it's really unfortunate because the DC Nation blog is now just Teen Titans Go.
Why even label it a block? Like,
it does stink because they even point out in the article that ratings were actually not an issue for the series. It was solely because of the movie bombing.
Like, obviously we're not there behind the scenes, but it just seems so stupid from the outside. Oh, man. And they could have had a really good block going, because they had those two going, and Boy of the Batman wasn't anything that special, but with those three on there, they would have had three solid shows, and they could have even continued to build on that, and it's just really unfortunate, like, that... That kind of went down, and Marvel keeps making their same stupid shows.
And I like some of the other stuff that they were talking about, like having Alan Scott come in, because they already established him as sort of this alternate reality Green Lantern. And obviously John Stewart was mentioned. Yes. And they mentioned making Kyle Rayner a Green Lantern fanboy.
Oh, man. It would have been so good. Oh, good times talking about Green Lantern and Razor and not Azula. And then she became Azula later. She revealed her true colors. You know, Ramble Time might get a bit of an injection, hopefully in the next few months, because hopefully Cora will come back. I'm really hoping for summer. It would be nice to have something else to watch over the summer.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Korra.
The book 2 DVDs are coming out pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. The Green Lantern animated series finally got a, you know, complete series DVD.
Yeah, I need to pick that up.
Yeah, I need to
I wish they would do that for Young Justice, because like, you can buy the volumes now, but I can't... I mean, other than Amazon, it's like you can't really find them anywhere. Kind of lost track of it. With the amount of like DVD sets and like compilations that come out everywhere else, it still amazes me that there's some companies and series that like they don't like find the means to put it together. It'll probably be one of those things where we won't get a proper set until like 10 years when everyone's suddenly nostalgic for it. Good times. Well, if everyone else is asleep, I feel like we're like at the bar and everyone's just slowly dropping off. Kevin's snoring on Brian's shoulder.
I was going to mention, because I'm looking at the article right now and I didn't see this before, but apparently the guy who was the head of Cartoon Network resigned.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah.
Recently?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we know why, because everything is going to shit.
This little tagline on her picture of him says, "The most hated man in animation."
You know, it's such a shitty few months for them, because they decided to cancel Young Justice and Green Lantern, and then they lost Clone Wars because they sold it to Disney, or Star Wars to Disney. And that was just kind of a really shitty time for Cartoon Network. And half of it was their own fault. And I haven't really heard anything about any other, like, you know, DC shows on the horizon or anything. Star Wars Rebels will be out. That's not DC, but it's a show that I'll probably be the only one that watches. Kevin will probably watch it, like, time delayed.
Is it like a separate, not continuity, but it's like a completely new show, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll watch it.
It's on, I don't know, I think it's going to be fall. Disney XD, fall or summer? Fall, I don't know. Girl Meets World will show up. We can just talk about that. Hey, they said something funny. Feeny was like, Feeny! Because he's not the one that says it. But yeah, that's pretty much about it. It's about the it. And now is it time for?
Yep.
The non-Facebook segment of non-Facebookness. Non.
Basically, final thingies.
Yes. Final Facebook thingies.
Final thingies.
FFT. Anyway, I'm like, this segment's called. Okay, so if you probably noticed, if you're Chenix, there's no Facebook question this week. That's because over the next few weeks, we are going to sort of be testing out a few different things we are going to be changing for the cast, hopefully to create a better show for Season 5. And one of them is Facebook. We're running out of questions. You're running out of questions. It was getting a little bit stale. So what we're going to do in terms of Facebook questions is we're only going to put them up when it is relevant to what we're talking about. Kevin should really be hearing this because he had a question about this. For example, I don't know if we would have put a question up about this, but this week's main news topic was talking about the Morphin Madness. So we would put up a news topic or a question about that, and then we would read the best answers from it. It's sort of a way to, you know, aid the discussion and get your thoughts out there. We're not going to read all of them like we did before, but just the best ones. So it'll just sort of pop up when we have some sort of big topic we're going to be tackling that week that we'd want to get feedback on. Not the alien. And the other thing we're going to be doing is, ideally twice a month, we are going to be doing caption contests. So we'll put up some sort of random image, probably of Troy looking for Robo Knight, I don't know. And, you know, just write your best caption, and we will read the best ones. So that is what's happening with Facebook. Since Twitter would also usually go here, as far as Twitter questions go, we're just going to always leave them open. So feel free to leave questions at any time about anything, and then we'll just sort of go through them and read them when either they're potentially relevant to what we're talking about, or if they're a question we really think is good.
Or maybe if we have a slow week.
Yeah, we have a slow week. We'll answer your weird scenario question about the apocalypse.
Well, given the state of ramble time,
but
we might have a slow week from time to time and just throw in a Twitter question or two.
Yeah. But the main idea is to stop it from being a little bit stale. But yeah, continuously keep sending them in. We'll read good ones and whenever it's relevant. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Ideally, the show shouldn't be longer than 2 hours every week.
Yeah, if it's 2 hours and 1 minute, we will kill ourselves. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we're trying to tighten up the show a little bit. There'll be some little changes here or there. You can leave feedback on Twitter if there's anything that any feedback you have about some of the changes or any ideas you might have. I might try to put up a Facebook thing where you could leave any suggestions or comments on some of the changes we've been doing, but God knows if I'll do that. But Twitter's always there.
Yeah, that is another thing we plan on being more active with as well. Gonna try to be a little more active with the Twitter account, and I mean, you're not going to hear me go, or not hear, but see me go, you know, like, "What up, nation?" Unless I'm really in a mood, but
I thought you'd do your black persona, and you'd just be like a player named Gus, except a player named Aerosol. Plarisol.
Yo, dogs, throw down some fat beats on me, hey?
I think
that means tell me what's up, but I'm not sure.
We'll find out. Look forward to our black persona coming to the RR Twitter this week. But yeah, so just keep an eye out for those changes and let us know. And also keep an eye out for blast shards that Brian's absorbing.
It's not me.
Good night, New York.